This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. For more than 20 years, helping people look forward to their retirement with confidence. And now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and I apologize. We had technical difficulties. We started the show off with a recorded show, but I'm live now. It's March 9th, 2017. And, of course, we're all about above-average investing for the average investor, and I don't want to go through our normal opening, but I do appreciate your patience here. I was going to talk about a particular, some terms. Like every so often I want to talk about terms that are important when you're analyzing a company or checking out the fundamentals. And one of the terms that we've referred to on the radio show here a lot is return on equity. When a company has a return on equity, what is a return on equity? I like them in the teens, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, at least. And this is a number, it's a theoretical return the company's making on for its shareholders. We'd like to see this number again in the teens. So what kind of return on the equity in the entire company? How much money? For instance, how much return are you getting on your house? When you buy a house and you hope it goes up in value, how much is the return? What's the return on that equity in the house? That's the kind of thing we're talking about. Okay, gross margins. What is that? Well, that's when companies sell products or services, and there are always costs, right? So this number shows the percentage of revenue a company keeps after paying for the product it sold or the employee that provided the service. Net margins, that's gross margin, but net margins, costs are not solely in the product itself, as you know. So, you know, you build a, make a product or you sell a service. That's not the only cost you have to cover. You have overhead expenses, right? Buildings and equipment and all those other things. So net margins after taking consideration those things. Gross margins are just concerns about, well, how much did it cost to make this product and how much money did we make on it? Whereas net margins, oh, I got to figure out all my costs, you know, every tax liability, the rent, all my overhead expenses, that kind of thing. So that's net margins. Those are some very good numbers to know. Very good numbers to know. So 888-99-CHART is our number. I want to hear from you. 888-992-4278. We're going to talk about Bill Gross and what he said today. Kind of interesting. He thinks another crisis is brewing. And do you know how many days we've had where the market has not fallen 1%? Is it near a record? And I want to talk about OPEC and the oil supplies. And I think that's very interesting. We had oil fall very hard in the last couple of days. And three tax scams you should watch out for now that we're in that really the heart of the tax season. Those are the kinds of things we want to talk about today. But, of course, it's always what you want to talk about that's important. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. We're live. 888-99-CHART is the number. It's always open. Love to hear from you. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Apologize for the opening. We had a little technical difficulty. It was on my end, not the engineer's end. But we are live now. 888-99-CHART. Give us a call. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Steve. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering what your opinion would be for GDX.
Well, it had a great run last year. It gave back a lot of it here in the recent month. It gave back a lot of it in October, November, and December. Then it had a run after the elections up again. And now it's given back about half of that. So right now, it gave back about half of the most recent run. And my belief is it's probably done giving that back. And it was interesting that it was down today, even though the dollar was down. Usually when the dollar's down, gold goes up and GDX would go up with it, but it didn't. So I think we're at a critical juncture. Let's put it this way. It should bounce from right around where it is today, GDX. But it's going to depend on the dollar. You know, the dollar has spiked up and this pulled down. If the dollar gives back some of its gains, gold, the GDX will move back up. So long term, it's where do you think the dollar is, and if and where do you think inflation is going to go? If inflation goes up, gold will go up, and so will GDX. If the dollar goes down, gold will go up, and so will GDX. So there's hints that we're seeing some inflation. It's just a matter of how much. So I kind of like it here. If you want to know the truth, Mike, I kind of like it here. And what you can do is you can use that low in December as a get out point, and that's only about what 8% away. You know, so you can use that as a get out if it doesn't work. Okay.
And this non-farm payroll, does that have any effect on the GDX or gold?
Well, it would have an effect on the dollar. So you kind of watch the dollar. Because if the non-farm payroll comes in really strong, it may make the dollar stronger. But if it comes in really strong, the Fed is going to raise rates, right? I mean, he's probably going to raise rates, yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why the dollar has gotten stronger. Everybody believes that. And they're going to meet next week. So, you know, you're looking for reasons why. And remember, the dollar's traded against foreign currencies. So if Europe starts to recover or Asia starts to recover, that will put downward pressure on the dollar and upward pressure on gold. There's a lot of things that tug and war on it, Mike. It's just a lot of things. And it's hard to – the dollar is the most most relevant. Okay? That's the one I would look at. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call.
Oh, thank you.
Shaker in San Jose. How you doing, Shaker?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call. I was listening to your recorded podcast just now because you started this thing. And one item that was covered on it was the 529 plan versus the Coverdell plan.
Yes.
And I was interested in that as I send my kids to a private school.
Okay. Remember, a 529 plan is a state-sponsored college education plan. And you can put money in it, and the growth of that money is never taxed. But the money you put in is after tax. You've already paid tax on that. But the growth of the money until you need it is never taxed. But a 529 plan can be only used for accredited colleges only. Whereas a covered on a 529 plan, you could put a lot more money. I don't know, it's $15,000, $17,000 a year away. In a Coverdell, it's also an education plan. The maximum you can put in that is only $2,000 a year. But that money can be used for college, any accredited college, or it can be used for truck driving school, beauty school, even private high school, private, you know, elementary. You can use that for anything. But that money, too, grows tax-free in a Coverdell. So those are the differences on those two. Is that what you wanted to know?
Okay. There's no tax benefit on the initial, like a 401k, but it's just
not
on the tax growth.
Yeah, that's the only tax benefit is the growth is never taxed.
Got it. Okay. Thank you
for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, you got to be there's more to it, but those are the general rules or general conditions that cover those two different programs. So, and remember, they're state-sponsored, so each state, I think 34 states have 529 plans. And each state's plan is a little bit different. Some are a lot less restrictive than others. Coming to terms with investing. Here's an investing term you should understand. Market capitalization. Talked about that. You know, I talk about, well, it's a big cap company. The market cap is $10 billion. It's a $10 billion size. That's what market capitalization, that's what I'm talking about, the size of the company. And it refers to the total market value of the company's outstanding shares. So it's the outstanding shares times the price per share gives you the size of the company. These are commonly referred to as a market cap. The market cap of this company is XYZ, billions or 100 millions or whatever it is. Okay, so you multiply the number of shares outstanding times the price of the stock, and that gives you the size of the company. And what good is that? It just shows you how big the company is, or if it's small. And small cap companies have a much stronger tendency to go bankrupt. Okay? Just so you know. We're already at the halfway mark of this Thursday Invest Talk, everybody. Remember to save the date. March 25th is our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference in San Jose. You can register now on investtalk.com. You can do it right now. So let's hear your money questions. 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. A couple of words first about KPP Financial. Anticipating trends, changing economic climates while they're still developing. That's essential to successful money management. Do you sense a trend change coming that might require an adjustment to your investment strategy? KPP Financial believes that conditions are right for a course correction, cycling from growth to value. If you'd like to know more about KPP's individual investment programs and how they match up with various life situations, just go to investtalk.com anytime, click on the Investments tab, and there you'll see a whole selection of five individual investment programs from KPP Financial. And now let's get back to the podcast. Looking ahead to our next Invest Talk, scanning thousands of companies. Research firms rate the best 401k plans. Four things the best 401ks share. That's one of our topics next time on Invest Talk. Please join us then.
Hi, Justin and Steve. It's Ashley from Reno, Nevada. I listen to your guys' show all the time. Now, I was curious, what was your take on UPS? They just announced that they will do Saturday home deliveries. I was wondering if that would make them more profitable. They're already a profitable company, I assume. Just let me know what your take is. I know they're like $107 in the market right now, I think. I haven't checked since yesterday. Thank you, and I'll listen to your show. Bye.
Okay, they're at $105.90. UPS is a symbol, United Parcel Services, and they are a large cap company, $92 billion. Large cap is anything over $10 billion. So this makes them a mega cap, which is the next step up from large, huge company. They're going to make $5.95 this year and then $6.45 a share next year, which would be an 8% increase. Their sales are growing 3, 4, 5%. You know, when you get this big, it's hard to grow. And one of the ways they do it, you know, is to make offers like a Saturday morning delivery. So what you really want to do is it a good value to buy right now? They're going to make $6.45. So if it's a $105 stock, well, that's right near, you know, 15, 16 PE, which is the norm for the market. And their five-year PE range is 15 to 24. So that's kind of on their low end. They have a very large return on equity, which we like. Good cash flow, pays a 3.1% dividend. There would be nothing wrong with buying this stock right here at $105.90. Knowing, though, you got to know it's very cyclical, meaning attached to the economic cycle, and in the next recession, they'll fall. Like most companies, they'll fall. But as far as valuations, it's pretty much fairly valued right in here. This is about what it's worth. But as you're waiting for it to make more and more money, because it is growing, you get 3.1% dividend yield. Nothing wrong with that. So it's not a bad place to buy right here. I mean, if I had my druthers, I'd like to buy it lower, but, you know, who knows when that might happen. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, one of the talking points I would have brought up at the beginning of the show, if we could have, was a better way to invest in index funds. You know what an index fund, S&P 500, the Dow 30. Now, all these funds are usually market weighted, market capitalization. We just talked about market cap weighted. In other words, these index are, the bigger companies have more influence than the smaller companies in these indexes. Now, when you talk about the Dow 30, there's only the 30 largest companies, so that doesn't, they don't do a market cap. But anyways, I don't want to get into the way that different indexes are measured, because the Dow is done differently, but I think it's price weighted. But the S&P 500 is market weighted, and many of them are market capitalization weighted. Well, if you want to buy an index, you might want to consider an equal weight S&P 500 or an equal weight index. What does that mean? That means every company inside the index is weighted the same. That means smaller companies have just as much influence on the price of the index as larger companies. And if you go back in history and take a look at the performance, you would see that the equal weighted index has outperformed the market weight indexes, the normal, the way they do it. So I would consider the equal weight index. I think it's might be a better way, but it also could be more volatile. Just so you know, because smaller companies are given the same weighting as larger companies, and smaller companies go up and down faster. Of course, that's why the equal weighted index does better, because smaller companies usually grow faster than bigger companies. Makes sense, right? That's our talking point for today. I have several others. I want to talk about Bill Gross. I want to talk about the S&P and Dow and the fact that they haven't gone up or down more than 1% in months. What does that mean? And I want to talk about OPEC and how they cut their production. What is that? Why is oil go down 6% in the last 2 days then? So I have a couple slots open for my day in San Jose. I will be in San Jose twice this month, first on the 15th, which is next week. And then I'll be meeting with listeners following our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference on the 25th at the San Jose Hyatt Hotel. That's where the conference is, at this San Jose Hyatt House, it's called, San Jose Hyatt House. If you're near our California offices, if you're not near our California offices, we can do it via phone or Skype. You know, that's the way I do it there. I've done that many times. It's pretty easy. If you'd like to set up a time, just call or just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab, and then portfolio review.
Here's an innovative solution for your 401k blues. If you find it difficult to feel good about your 401k choices, but you feel the need to make some changes, look into KPP Financial's Active 401k. Take the proactive approach. Active 401k will provide you with recommendations based on your employer's plan and your own personal risk tolerance and life situation. Check it out on investtalk.com. Just click on the Investments tab.
Hey, Steve or Justin, this is Adam from Turlock. Love your show. My question today is that I'm a teacher in California, and I'm expecting roughly $85,000 a year in retirement from my CalSTRS pension. And I was just wondering, aside from that, what kind of savings or investing should I be doing? I have a Roth IRA and a regular IRA that I put a little bit of money into. I'm just wondering how much I should put in. What's a good percentage? Thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, I would try to max them out, max out that IRA or Roth IRA. I think it was $6,000 a year. You want to have as much comfort as you can. Remember, they're probably not going to replace all your income, but your expenses, you know, a lot of people think their expenses in retirement are going to be much less. No, it might be less, but it's not going to be much less. Just make sure you pay off that house before you retire. That's a big expense that you don't need in retirement. But I would try to max out the IRA. You've got a $5,000 limit, but $6,000 if you're over 50, as a catch up, another $1,000, I think it is. So that's what I would do. Try to max out those things, because you don't know how much money you're going to need in retirement, and don't you want to be as comfortable as possible? In your earnings years is the only time. After your earnings years, you're stuck. You can't, when you're 70 years old, you're not going back to work. No one's going to want you, except maybe a greeter at Walmart or, fast food checkout person, whatever. No one wants those kind of jobs, right? But you don't want to have to take those jobs. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Bill Gross said there's another credit crisis brewing. He says the U.S. has created more credit relative to GDP than it did to the run-up of the financial crisis since 2007, 2008 it has run up its credit more than it was before the financial crisis. And China, which is the second largest economy in the world, since 2007, they have lent, borrowed, or used credit and to the tune of $24 trillion, which is like of 300% of their GDP. Now, that's 300%. That's a huge amount. Huge amount. Now, the U.S., what's the U.S.? What, 100%? Think about it. What's our debt? $16 trillion. What do we make per year? The GDP is about that, $13, $14 trillion. I don't remember. It's something like that in those trillions. So we got a lot of debt ourselves, but China's got a ton more. What does this mean? All this means is that the more credit and debt you have, the more at risk you are in any kind of financial crisis. Now, what will it be? Bill Gross didn't say what it would be. He doesn't know. No one knows. And it could go on for years. But the longer it goes on, the more risky it is. And we saw the trigger last time in that financial crisis. It just was Lehman Brothers, you know, and that was the trigger. Everybody, you know, what happens is everybody wants their money. Everybody tries to get their money. Well, the money's just not sitting there if it's too big of a run. I always talk about, and I talk a bit to people about what does a bank run look like. I say, well, if you ever seen It's a Wonderful Life, that Christmas movie, where in the movie they show the 1930s bank run where there's just not cash for everybody to get their money out. That's the same kind of thing. You got all these loans outstanding. Now everybody wants to call in their loans. Well, wait a minute. The money's not there. Now, last time, the Federal Reserve was a great backstop by lowering interest rates and printing money like crazy. Well, they don't have that this time. Their interest rates are very low already. So how's it going to work out this time if we have a financial crisis? And it may not be if, it might be when. And I didn't mention the market today. It was up a little bit. The Dow was up 4, S&P up 2, and the Nasdaq up 1. But most of the day it was kind of down. But that's what the market did today. It's struggling at these levels. The market is struggling this week. Let's get back to our 24-hour listener line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, I have a question for the radio program. I enjoy the program every day, and I have a question regarding Regeneron, R-E-G-N. I'd like to know if it's too high to get into and what you think about it. My name's Pauline. I'm in San Bruno. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Pauline. Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, it's a $41 billion company, large cap, develops drugs to treat eye diseases, inflammatory diseases, and cancer. It's going to make $12.95 this year. That's 14% higher than last year. And $15.60 next year, another 20%. Sales growth is around 10, 12, 15%. That is slower than it was a year ago, but that's what it is now. Stock is $390 a share. Don't ever be afraid of the price of the stock being high. It's all in relationship to its earnings. The price of a stock is meaningless, but it only has meaning when you talk about its earnings. So its earnings are going to be $15.60 next year. So that means the PE next year is going to be 25. See, that's why the PE is important, price to earnings ratio, because it gives you the relative earnings to price ratio that you say, okay, well, is that a high or is that a low? And every stock has that kind of ratio. Now, this doesn't pay a dividend. It has a great return on equity, 33%, doesn't have much debt. Management owns 10%. And the stock price looks like it's bounced off $340 three times in the last year and gone up. And now it's done it again. It will hit $340 in February. And now it's at $390. So it's already bounced up. The resistance, overhead resistance, about 420 to 430, maybe even 440, you can even say, you know, maybe 430 to 440. That's where it stops. Is it a good place to buy right now? Well, it had a good day today. I mean, it was up so far this week. It's up 3%. Today it was up 2.3%, just one day. So it might have had some good news out there. I don't know. You could buy it here, but knowing full well, you're kind of buying it after it's come off the bottom pretty good. But this looks like a good spot to buy it, and I think it's a good, solid company. I really do. Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, R-E-G-N is the symbol. Bruce in Fresno. How you doing, Bruce?
Pretty good, Steve. I'm wondering about an REIT that is paying like 7%. I was wondering if you thought that the dividend was
safe?
Pretty secure.
Okay. REIT, everybody's a REIT. And this one is Gaming and Leisure Properties, GLPI. REIT engaged in owning and acquiring, developing, managing, and leasing gaming and related facilities. It's a $6.3 billion company. So whenever you look at, well, how REITs have to pay 90% of their earnings out in the form of a dividend. They have to. That makes them a REIT. So they're going to make $3.09 this year. Next year, $3.13. So let's see if they, if just based on their earnings, taking that $3.13 and say, well, they've got to pay 90% of that to us in a dividend, that's $2.80 on a $30 stock. Okay, $2.80 on a $30 stock is about 8%. So it's going to make enough money to pay that dividend. Now, this is really rough, right, Bruce? I mean, you know, I'm not taking consideration, well, what's their debt, their cash flow. Return on equity is really high. Cash flow is pretty good. So, you know, everything else looks okay. Their debt is a little bit on the high side, but most REITs do have debt. And I'm assuming, you know, they can service that debt. Those are things you got to really check out. But just on the surface, it looks like they should be able to maintain that dividend. Okay?
Okay. Would you, looking at it, would you not consider it if it breaks the December lows?
Yeah, I think you got to really be worried about that December low. Remember, REITs are affected by rising interest rates negatively. REITs are affected negatively. The more debt they have, the more rising rates will hurt them. So I would be concerned about that December low, yes. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bruce. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. Our last segment of the hour is coming up. But we can still fit you in, fit your question in, 888-99-CHART. Now, do you remember when OPEC announced they were going to cut production by $1.8 billion barrels a day? And I was sort of skeptical that they would be able to do that because, you know, they're hardly ever able to do that. Well, they say they're about 90% there. 90% there, cutting their oil production, OPEC, by about that amount. Yet, oil production worldwide hasn't fallen. Why? Because the U.S. shale producers here in the United States have increased production to the highest level in more than a year and will be climbing to 9.7 million barrels next year, which is a record for oil production in the United States. So while they're cutting, our oil producers are increasing. Now, notice that the oil prices have fallen, you know, 6% in the last couple of days because we certainly have more supply than we need. I think that we might see oil fall a bit for a while. So, but I don't think it's going to collapse. I just think it's going to fall. Anyways, let's talk to Mel in San Jose. How you doing, Mel?
I am good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to find out if you know anything about a mutual fund called VEIPX.
Give me that symbol again.
V as in Victor, EIPX.
EI. Is that T as in Tom X?
Victor Edward I Paul X.
Paul, okay, got it. Okay, that's a Vanguard Equity Income Fund. What would you like to know about it?
Just what are your thoughts about that particular mutual fund?
Okay. Okay, so what you can do whenever you want to look up a fund and kind of find, and this is not just for you, I'm talking to everybody else, Mel, but you should go to Morningstar.com. Now, they do have a part where you can buy the data, which gives you much more in-depth information, and that's what we do. But also, you can look up almost any mutual fund. And this one is an income fund. It's a five-star fund, equity income fund. So it's a good, really good, according to them, they like it. They think it's a very strong fund compared to its peers. And so they are going to be pretty high on it. It is a large cap, not giant, but a large cap deep core value fund. And they split up, here it is. Their income is primarily derived by dividends, not bonds. They don't have any bonds. So that's where they're getting their income. Their highest holdings, Microsoft, then J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Johnson & Johnson, General Electric. So you can see big companies, big solid companies that pay nice dividends. So if you're looking for a good dividend-paying fund for big companies, this is the one you would use. And Vanguard is a very good fund family because they're inexpensive. Their costs, their fees are very inexpensive. You know, so I kind of like it. I don't have a problem with it. 2.6% dividend yield, by the way, just so you know.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I was looking at the fees, so I thought it was looked pretty low.
Yeah, expense ratio is 0.26. That's pretty low. Vanguard always has very, very low fees. That's what they're known for. Okay? Thanks, Mel.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate the call. Vanguard Equity Income Fund. It is VEIP, as in Paul, X. That's the symbol. The S&P 500 and the Dow has not fallen 1% in over 3 months. 102 trading days where they have not fallen 1%. Now, and remember, that's during a period where there's Christmas, there was an election, pretty contentious election. North Korea is firing off missiles. You know, I mean, there's things that happened that you would think would drive up or down. The Fed had raised rates, would drive the market up or down, at least 1%, and it hasn't. So what is the longest periods, okay? For the Dow, the longest period is 155 days. That happened in 1966, March of 1966, when that ended. Okay, and for the S&P, it's 185 days. And that was in 63, November 63. That's how old those are. So we're at 102 days. My time's up for the hour. If you'd like to contact me directly with a personal message, just click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. On behalf of Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, thanks for being with us today. And let's plan on doing it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.